Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright.
With tonight's guests, Reverend leaders and best-selling authors, Gregory and Gail Ho.
Night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Jim Kimo West. I am Mark Leisure, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I like words. I've always liked words. Words of songs and passages in books and quotes, and nowadays memes. Back in the day when there wasn't social media and when we couldn't take a picture of something, if I really liked some words, if I felt that I wanted to remember them or maybe even wanted to live by them, I would, if it was a book that I wasn't going to keep, but a particular page was important, I would rip the page out of a book or a magazine. If it was a book that I wanted to keep, but I wanted to make sure I had those words someplace where I could refer to them, I would handwrite the words onto a piece of paper. And a while back, I created a manila folder with a tab on it, and it said, Words to Live By. And I filled up that manila folder with so many wonderful words that I wanted to live by or that I wanted to be reminded of in life when I had a chance to review. Why am I sharing this today? Because I knew when I was reading and perusing our guest's book, Sacred Geometry, the Universal Language of Divine Alignment, that I would find many interesting things that I would learn. And at one point, I put the book down and got busy with something else and opened it back up when I came back, and it opened up to these words. And I thought of that folder. These are words that I would put in the folder, Words to Live By. And I'd like to read the words that I found. This is an important time to renew the vows to who you truly are. Listen to the messages inside. If they bring you to a place of greater peace and happiness, they will lead you in a good direction. Connection is essential and can overcome the control of the ego mind. You are here for the good of all. Release judgment that has held you back. Judgment, shame, and fear are indications of disconnection from soul. Learn to recognize those states as a message from your soul to redirect and choose acceptance of your divine self. Fill yourself with gratitude for your life, loved ones, and the joys that are available to you. Choose a gentle, compassionate, and loving path, one that includes generosity and prosperity. When you are connected, you are in the flow. Take a breath and open your heart. Feel your place of belonging here and now. Understanding geometry and numbers works at the core level to bring us back in touch with soul and the divine patterns of all that is beyond time, space, and mind. The universe is an amazing, abundant, and loving system that welcomes you fully. Embrace the deep connection you have to universe and all souls on this planet. Allow the flow of energy to guide you and receive a deeper understanding of your connections to all life.
Wow, I feel like we need a minute of silence. And beyond that, I'm a little breathtaking at a number of synchronicities that those words play into, with some happenings today and some friends. So I've always been fascinated by sacred geometry, and I'm really, really excited for tonight's guests and for this conversation. And yet the beginning of your monologue reminded me how not sacred my handwriting geometry was.
Well, maybe tonight we'll work on that too, if it helps. In the meantime, speaking of sacred geometry, we've titled this episode, So What Makes Sacred Geometry Sacred? I think we're getting a sense of it from what we shared earlier. This is episode 803, and it features our interview guests, Reverend leaders, speakers, teachers, and best-selling authors, Gregory and Gail Hoag. Welcome, Gregory and Gail, to the Life Changes Show.
Wow. Thank you so much. You know, I have to say, when you were reading those words, I was just so taken by the energy of those words.
Me too.
And I even just looked at it and went, oh my gosh, did we do that?
Yes, did. I know.
Thank you for doing that.
Wonderful to find things in our book when they're taken out of context and go, oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. That's something I want to live by.
Really?
And am.
So thank you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And thank you to the both of you. And like I said at the beginning, and Mark said as well, and Dorothy, we've all been interested in sacred geometry, and we've shared different learnings and teachings with each other. And so I was expecting to understand and learn more. And yet what I got was something, what I'm getting already is something more, actually. And I have to say that in part, I think, having gotten to know the two of you just a little bit, and also from the book, I think this is how it comes through you two.
Yeah, that is so true. One of the things that I actually love about being on a podcast is that I never know what I'm going to say. And I think that's true with this book. And for both Gregory and I, we would sit down and go into that place of deep connection and allow the flow of those words and the ideas and the essence of sacred geometry to pour through us and come out in the form of the words on the pages of the book. And that was really a wonderful experience.
And it was especially, I think, exciting that we were able to write the book together. And there'll be times where we'll be reading something and it's, did Gail write that? Did I write that? Did we wordsmith that together? It's been a wonderful step in our life journey. I mean, we've been together over 40 years doing this work, and to be able to be creative at every moment of that journey, and especially writing a book in a way it's taken us to another level of relationship between each other and obviously between ourselves and the higher aspects of ourselves. Mm. The soul that we allowed to come through was a discovery. So that's what I enjoyed about the book, was all the things that I discovered and grew in. And it wasn't from reading other material that we wanted to bring in, but what we discovered within ourselves.
Mm. Like it
poured out.
Gail, earlier you used the word through, and Gregory, you just used the word through, and it reminded me of something that I wanted to ask you, because I wanted to know more. In the book somewhere, you said something like, we could consider not using the phrase coming from the heart, but rather through the heart. Please share.
Oh, that's been one of my big feelings for a long time, and it's there for a couple of reasons. One, it's obvious to anyone who dips into any form of art. And when I talk about art, I talk about, dance and paintings, making soup, digging a hole outside. Anything can be art when you allow yourself to be a vehicle for something greater to come through. But especially in terms of the heart, we've often seen phrases today where we talk about the wisdom of the heart, but what we're really doing is we're limiting our experience to the physical aspects of the body. And just because science has discovered that there are brain cells that ex you know are in the structure of the heart, that doesn't mean that the heart itself is doing the work, is another brain for the body. It really is a portal, a doorway. And even our brains, our mind, it's not there in between your ears in that thing that you call a skull, but it is a non-local phenomena that is actually worked with via the heart from higher self. The mind that moves each one of us exists on a universal level, and we can tap into that information, into that love, and then use the heart and the brain in our physical body as one, the heart as a doorway to come through, and the brain as a repository to work with some of these concepts and ideas. But when we draw upon the bigger aspects of what the universe is offering us in terms of information, it's unlimited. And that's why we use such a small bit of our brain, because it's not a computer. It's just an opportunity for us to express ourselves in the physical body.
I feel like we've talked about sacred geometry already, and yet we haven't really defined it. And I have a feeling the definition, in a sense, is everything we've talked about and so much more, of course. But before we get there, the two of you have been at this a long time, individually and together. And I know that some of it, if maybe not most of it, has been not so easy and not so comfortable. It's amazing what I've been learning in the process. I just wanted, maybe Gail, if you would share something as far back as 3 years old, and then Gregory, afterwards, if you would share something about your Kundalini awakening experience, just a little bit to tease the life story here.
Well, I have an awareness that's so poignant. When I was about 3 years old, I was just doing what a three-year-old should be doing, going outside and playing and swinging on a swing. And something just came to me. It's like I had an epiphany. And all I knew was I was so excited. And I felt like, oh my gosh, I know why I'm here. I'm here to make a difference. But I didn't have any idea what that meant. And I ran in and told my mom, and she thought, oh dear, that's very nice. But what that really brought me to was that I wanted my middle name to be Joy. And it's something that is a connection that was established at such a tender age.
And we had the same initials before we got married and after we got married. GJH, which is always fun. Universe plays with these things to show us how united we are all the time. And So your question about what went on for me energetically was over 50 years ago now, after a decade of doing a lot of spiritual searching, working with different masters. I built a pyramid with a friend that cost us, in today's dollars, about a quarter of a million to build. And even though it was only 10 feet high, I slept in it. And after a number of weeks, it set off this energy flow in my body called Kundalini, which is the energy moving from the earth up through each chakra, opening up to its full potential, which doesn't happen real easily because I wasn't ready for full potential. I had issues, I had blockages, and it was, though it was all of that, energy coming back, creating the eddies that caused my body to actually burn holes in my hands and feet as the energy was trying to pass through. But in the end, after years of working with it, I was able to balance the energy enough to begin to communicate with that bigger part of myself. What I was referencing a while ago with the information that we can access that comes into our bodies, into our brain, that's the access that I had at that time where I started communicating with what I felt were beings from other dimensional realities. And they had a very strong interest in the spiritual development of human beings. And that's what they put into my awareness and what I started building when I met Gail in 1985.
Wow, and you've given out some dates there, and you make it sound like the two of you have been on this path for quite a while, and yet in a way that I sensed right away when I first connected with both of you, it almost feels like this was all, how do I say this? Because it's been a long road for sure, but it feels like you're just getting started in a sense.
It does.
Isn't that
Yeah.
fun?
That's a really fun thing because, particularly as we go through different changes and ages in our lives, at an older age, people think they're winding down and they don't have anything else to do. Well, it's the opposite for us. Here we were just beginning to write our book in our 70s, and there were times where I would laugh at that and think, why did we wait so long? And yet we always felt that it was the perfect time and that now is the time that we're being called forward to bring this message far and wide because it's important now. And we've had the time and the experiences, the maturity and the clarity to bring it into the context that it's really needing to be in.
Well,
It's
thank you
so
for
important.
that. What about to both of you? Yes, Gregory.
I was just going to say it's so important to have that mindset and openness of a child, and that can stay with you forever. And it's that continued renewal and excitement and awe of what the universe is offering us that keeps us engaged and gives us the opportunity to be of service.
Wonderful. Okay, so what is sacred geometry?
I love to start off because Gregory is going to get into more detail.
Don't have to.
But I want to start out with sort of the broad worldview and just to begin with. Everything is energy. And what is energy? It's formless. It's creation. It's potential. And yet, in order for it to come into this physical dimension, it requires structure. It has to have real organization and something recognizable, tangible, that we can depend on over and over and over again. And so sacred geometry is coded with rhythm and cycles and patterns and harmonics that allow energy to find its way into magnificent form here in this dimension. And the ancients understood it. They recognized that there's a way that they can build that maintained the deep connections of the way energy has that intrinsic data that can be accessed. And so sacred geometry is really amazing because it's not only that, but in these universal patterns, it's all founded in the embrace of consciousness. And what is that consciousness? That consciousness is love. And when we get back in touch with that, and we realize that here we are, here and now, embraced in that love, it helps us to find our place and be who we are and allow those connections to guide us.
Well, now see, there you go, because I was expecting it's a cube, it's a tetrahedron, and you brought it to love, Gail.
Thank you.
And
thank
you. Have to be, the more you understand it, the more you love cubes and tetrahedrons, because it's the way universe works. Because if you take a tetrahedron and you add up all the degrees on its surface, and then you take an octahedron and add up those and then add it to a dodecahedron times 100, it gives you the diameter of the sun exactly. You take a different set of geometries, like an octahedron, a cube, and a tetrahedron, and an icosahedron, add them up, you get the diameter of the earth exactly. A cube itself gives us the diameter of the moon. And when you change degrees into miles. So what we're seeing with that is the universe follows patterns. And these patterns existed before creation. So the universe keeps working with these same patterns. It doesn't have a new day happen and say, oh, maybe I'll make oxygen differently today and we'll rearrange the molecule. No, the molecules, the atoms, they all stay consistent because it's following a particular archetype that existed before creation. And when we look at how the universe does it, then it really behooves us to dance with the way the universe is dancing. And that's what's gotten us into a lot of trouble today, because we think we can do whatever we want. And with modern technology, we're creating electromagnetic frequencies that interfere with our well-being, toxins, the fears that are being used rampantly on the planet to control people, the stress that we're all feeling, all these different aspects of our being and modern life and modern technology are separating us from the largeness of who we are. And by working with sacred geometry and thinking of these as antenna systems, so some of the Gothic churches, the pyramid at Giza, Stonehenge, they were putting together systems that when people stepped into them, they could feel the energy. It's like the difference of being here in modern life where we sit at our computer, we're driving in traffic, and then when we have an opportunity to be out in nature, under a tree, in the sunshine, with a brook babbling next to us. The difference in the way we feel is attributable to the way nature is doing everything right, the the way it's supposed to be doing it, the way oxygen is being given off by the tree and carbon dioxide taken, and all these things. We feel that natural order, and it shifts our order just a little bit. But that's what we've been studying and working with for the last 40 years. How can we take this disorder that we are in, the cacophony of just all the different energies that are bombarding us every day, and how can we bring in rhythms that quiet our heart going up and down, quiet our breath, bring us into presence, bring us into a creative state where we can be so mindful that we allow universe to speak to us, and we can be that unique artist that each one of us is. We're all unique, like all the snowflakes that are always talked about being unique. And yet when each snowflake melts, it goes back into the same ocean as every other snowflake. And you and I and all of us share the same ocean of consciousness that is there flowing through each of our lives. And yet we haven't noticed it enough. And it's time to bring it more into the forefront of our awareness.
Time more than ever, I'm sensing from what you're saying. You write in the book, in times when there were no electrical currents, or maybe this was a quote from somebody, you tell me, but in times when there were no electrical currents, when the air was not swarming with electrical influence, it was easier to be human.
Right.
Right.
Isn't that powerful?
And that was in 2017, or excuse me, 1917, 100 years ago, you know, when Rudolf Steiner wrote that. And he said it was even easier 100 years prior to that, which was the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, when we moved away from the land, when we moved into cities. All these things have affected our consciousness. And it's so interesting that he said it was easier to be human. It's like, what does that mean to be human? Right. It doesn't mean you're that character that's looking back at you in the mirror. You have the potential to be like we talk about each of us being like the tip of an iceberg, where only 10% of us shows up. The other 90% is invisible on the higher dimensional levels, where our emotions hang out, where our mental abilities hang out. And when we're able to access fully those higher aspects all the way to soul, then our compassion can come through. Then our love can come through. Then our creativity can come through. And that's what it is to be truly human.
Why is that important?
From the very onset of our lives, when we open our eyes and we start engaging and going, where am I? Who am I? What is this craziness around me? We've wanted to understand who we are. We've wanted to be able to bring the highest level of our consciousness to find its place in our lives. And that drives us. It drives every one of us. You know, when people say, well, what do you do? And then people go on and they say, well, I'm a businessman. I'm a doctor. I'm a bus driver. That's not what the question is. Who are you? And that's what we're really here to discover. And that's what is so beautiful with sacred geometry, because it brings everything into that oneness where we can explore who we are, where we can learn from all of the different aspects of universe. And we can find ourselves in that. We can find ourselves in the silence of sitting quietly and just listening to the breezes. We can become one with that higher connection and bring it into our lives. That's what's exciting, to be able to find its place in our everyday life, in our relationships, in our families, in whatever creations we bring forward. That is, to me, the essence of what we're here to discover. And when I was little and I was, you know, just, you know, 3 years old, I felt like, I don't know why I'm here. I don't belong here. I'd look around me and I'd go, this isn't familiar. This doesn't even feel good. I must have somehow gotten dropped off on the wrong corner. And yet, what came to me was a very potent experience that said, you're here to make a difference. You're here to bring joy. And then it was my job to find out, how am I going to do that?
Beautiful. And the job and the moment is now. And I know we hear that. The reason I'm bringing it up in this way is, and at this moment, is because when I spoke with you all, I said, wow, something to the effect of, it feels like you've all been doing this other lifetimes. And you both agreed that you have been on a path. Obviously, we're all on some path in another lifetime. And then you focus the conversation and me back to this moment, because this is the moment where we can actually, how did you say it?
Make a difference. I mean, this is where it matters. So many people are in so much distraction today, in a lot of pain, a lot of difficulty. But if you work with everything from this very moment, this breath right now, as you and I are speaking, this communication, nothing else exists except being present. And when you're fully present, that's when you can engage with so much. That's when everything feels good, just to be alive. And there are so many things that can take us off purpose and take us into, you know, when you think about the pain that we're experiencing as human beings, it's usually around things that have happened or fears of what's going to happen. All of that is totally off the moment. It's in our heads, where our mind is creating pain out of what isn't real, doesn't exist. Because the moment, this breath, going in and going out, this is what's real. This is when you can make a difference. And this is when you can feel most empowered in the present.
And this affects that.
It's all that is true. You know, our mind wants to have us think that things are in the past or the future. But that's only... The past is what the brain is really archiving. That's not where we are right now. To be right here, right now, with our authenticity, with our passion, with our centeredness and our connection, is the gift. That is the gift of really being present. And that is what we're here to experience. The joy of it. And, you know, you see birds around and animals and little children, they know how to do it. They just are here and they're having a good time. And that's what we're here to do, and explore this amazing universe, where the universe is giving us these beautiful, mindful messages all the time about what beautiful universality, what oneness really is, and how we're really here to be humans at the level of what a human is really able to be.
And what a time to be human. Well, for those who want to explore the book, there are chapters like The Patterns That Ground Reality, that I wish we could have talked about, Universal Harmonics and Archetypes. I know that's so important, a conversation, and maybe for another time, and using sacred geometry to transform your life. Well, and before we close, speaking of transforming our lives and gifts, you all have this beautiful transformational jewelry that is a gift to helping people transform their lives.
That's the Heart and Soul Companion. And do you want me to give out the website right now?
I can give it too. iconnecttoall.com. And that's the number 2 and the letter iconnecttoall.com. Unless there's another one you'd like to give.
No, that's a good one. And what's interesting about this jewelry is it has 35 antenna systems. We've discovered new ways of working with three-dimensional geometry and putting it into a two-dimensional antenna system. And what happens is it shifts the energy that is going in and the energy that's coming out of you, which makes such a difference. For example, one grandmother told me what I love about the pendant is that my grandkids used to run away from me. Now when I visit, they crawl all over me because they're attracted to the energy. I've had lawyers tell me that they put certain ones of our constructions in their office or in their the room where they do dispositions or whatever. The point is people stop arguing as much. And
now that's a testimonial.
Yeah. One of the nicer ones was recently we've created things to relieve electromagnetic frequencies, and someone bought one for their horse barn. And then they called me the other day and said, the interesting thing is all the horses are trying to get under that same spot in the barn and crowd under this geometry.
They know.
Because they do. I mean, it's so much fun because you know you can't say, oh, that's just placebo effect. That horse thinks he's going to get something. No, they're going for what's real.
They have horse sense.
They have.
There you go.
You hit it right on the head there, Filippo. You know horse sense.
Well, so that website is not only where you can check out and buy the jewelry, but also where you can get the book. And the book is available where books are sold online. Again, iconnecttoall.com. And also, if you forget that, and you can go to then the Life Changes Show page for both Gregory and Gail Hoag, Hoag, and also find them on social and everywhere. I hope, speaking of everywhere, I hope I get to meet you all when you're in Los Angeles sometime, giving some kind of a talk or something. You still do those, right? I hope.
We do occasionally. Right now, we're enjoying being here in Colorado.
Yes.
It's a great place.
Well, the two of you are absolutely delightful. I really enjoyed this conversation and learning and feeling more into a subject that has been near and dear to me, and that is sacred geometry. So with a big thank you to the two of you for being with us today, I want to remind everybody to check out both Gregory and Gail Hoag, and again at iconnecttoall.com. Gregory and Gail, thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you, and same to you, Filippo. What a pleasure to be here.
Our pleasure. Until next time. And now, after that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, This is Terry, and I'm overwhelmed with my inability to stop procrastinating. I have limited time to get some important things done, and yet I am always waiting until the last possible minute to complete my tasks. I've procrastinated for at least 60 years now, and I feel that I must change. Please tell me how I can start doing things in a timely manner.
Dear Terry, procrastination is a common problem for over 20% of humans. I was a major procrastinator for many years, and I finally did the research on why people procrastinate and how to stop doing the same thing. I found many excellent articles online, and one I feel would help you can be found at psychologytoday.com. This article provides 11 ways to overcome procrastination, and it helped me a lot. Of the 11 ideas, I related most to write it on your calendar, forgive yourself, and reward yourself when you succeed in getting your projects done. The article also prompted me to come up with an idea that helps me the most, and that is to set a time limit and set my alarm for the latest time I should start my project. If you want to know more about why you may be procrastinating, check out the excellent article at Harvard Business Review or the many other excellent articles. OnlineWiki.com, VeryWellMind.com, and Self.com are also excellent sources of positive, helpful information to assist you in stopping procrastination. With just a little effort, you can become more proactive and overcome your tendencies to procrastinate.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please don't procrastinate and write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest. I was about to say so much about him. I'm going to wait, but he is Jim Chemo West. We're in for a special treat when we come back here on the Life Changes Show online edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back, and I was so excited before the break. I was going to start to list all the fun things and interesting and professionally amazing things that our performance guest has done. Suffice to say, he's a Grammy winner. I think two more times Grammy nominated for other things. He's one of the world's foremost kiho'alu, which is Hawaiian slack key guitar artist, and so much more. Let's just welcome Jim Kimo West to the Life Changes Show. Welcome, Jim.
Aloha, Filippo. How's it, brada?
Aloha, and I should say welcome, Kimo. And please explain the Kimo part.
Well, you know, Kimo is basically what they call you in Hawaii if you're named Jim or James, because they don't have a J in the language. They don't have all the same consonants we do. So if you're Robert, they call you Lopaka because they don't have an R. So, yeah, my Hawaiian language teacher first called me Kimo, so it's kind of stuck.
Well, Kimo it is. And, you know, funny thing, I left out the quote-unquote punchline. I didn't mention that you are the guitarist, have been, and are for Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah, that's right. I call that my day job. But it's... I've played with Al since the, you know, almost the beginning, since the 80s, and it's really fun. We tour, we make the records, and he's a great guy, and it's, you know, you get to play all kinds of different styles of music. It's always fun, and we'll be doing a big tour next year.
How exciting. You mean all those songs we sang as kids that were Weird Al Yankovic songs, that was you playing the guitar?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I think it... Pretty much, except for the very beginning. But yeah, that was me.
How fun. So, of course, then you would somehow end up in Hawaii.
Well, you know, the thing about playing with Al, you know, it makes you appreciate laughter and how good that makes you feel. You know, when we finish a show and you see the smiles on people's faces and everybody's having a good time and laughing, and it's, you know, that is just obviously very therapeutic. And also, I think it kind of helps. I think my, you know, time with Al has sort of helped me not take myself too seriously. But, you know, I did end up, you know, in Hawaii. Actually, I was on a tour with Al back in the 80s, and a friend of mine who was on the tour said, hey, I'm going to go visit a friend of mine on Maui. Why don't you come along after the tour? And it was a life-changing experience, actually.
I guess.
You know, what happened was I was staying with a local family, and I was in a little town called Hana, Maui, when it's very kind of remote on the east side of Maui. You know, I hadn't even seen Waikiki or anything. We flew in to the main airport and then got on a little puddle jumper and flew into Hana. So my first experience was this beautiful rural community with horses and chickens and cows and, you know, no stoplights and one gas station. And I stayed with a local family, and I was immediately going to local events, local parties and get-togethers, and that's where I first got exposed to this, what they call kiho'alu, or slack key guitar.
Which I hope you're going to explain, because a lot of people don't know what that is. I know what it sounds like, but I don't know how to describe it.
Well, it's really just a term the Hawaiians use for... what we would call open tuning on the guitar. So when guitars first were brought to Hawaii in the early 1800s, they came over with Spanish vaqueros. Spanish cowboys were brought over by Kamehameha III to teach the Hawaiians how to manage cattle. What had happened was Kamehameha I had been given a gift of 3 head of cattle by one of the explorers, George Vancouver, these big longhorn cattle. And, you know, 30 years later, they were all over the place, all over the big island, and you know, creating a lot of problems. And Kamehameha III saw these Spanish vaqueros on a trip when he came to the mainland. He was in California, which was actually Mexico, and part of Mexico in those days. But he saw these vaqueros, you know, managing the cattle and roping them. So he contracted them to come over with their ponies and saddles and teach the Hawaiians. And of course, they had guitars with them, and the Hawaiians had never heard guitars, and they were enchanted with this instrument. And when the vaqueros left, they left the guitars behind, and the Hawaiians, you know, didn't really take to the standard tuning, so they started slacking the strings into different tunings, you know, so different families different families would have their own tunings, and they would keep them secret because that was part of the family, you know, their power. And in those days, you could only learn slack key if you learned from your dad or from your uncle.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah, that's how they kept these rich traditions alive, you know, just like with their language and their history. Before they had written language, they had chants and then hula, which is not what we think of as hula today, as a more of a primitive hula, mostly danced by men. But that was how they kept their genealogies and their histories alive, because they didn't, like I say, didn't have a written language. So there was a lot of that kind of mentality of keeping things within the tradition, you know, for many, many years. And it was never, slack key was never played, performed, you know, it was just played at home until probably in the maybe 40s, people started, you know, I think the first actual commercial recording of slack key wasn't until the mid-40s. So it was, you know, not performed until then, really.
Well, as funny as you could be with Weird Al, and as you've learned to take certain things not so seriously, I know that from what I gather, you must have taken the in a sense sacredness of this somewhat seriously in order to be accepted by a Hawaiian community, right?
Like I say, I had sort of been thrown in the deep end of Hawaiian culture, and so I felt pretty accepted even by, you know, Hawaiian people before I even started playing slack key. But once I started recording my own tunes, I really didn't record them intentionally. What had happened was, I was living out there. I decided I was going to live out in Hana, and I had a friend come visit, an old friend of mine. He wasn't old. He was a young guy. He was a chef, and he came to visit, and we had a great time and, of course, ate a lot of good food. And a few weeks later, after he left, I found out that he passed away, and I was very heartbroken. And the guitar, you know, gives me comfort. And I just started playing, and I wrote a slack key song, and I recorded it so that I could send to his parents, you know. And it was a happy song because he was a happy guy. And some of my Hawaiian friends heard it, and they said, "Hey, bro, that's, you know, that's the kind. You should, you know, do more." And so I got inspired to record more. I started writing my own slack key tunes, and at one point I had 10 or 12, and somebody said, "Well, you got all these songs, why don't you make a CD?" And I had not even considered it, because I didn't think of it as a commercial thing, you know, it was just something I did for the love of it. And another friend of mine said, "Well, I'll do the cover," and all of a sudden I had a CD, and then I had a record release party, and then all of a sudden I was invited to play at the Slack Key Festival, and it just kind of, you know, went on from there.
Wow. Well, and 13 albums later in total, actually, we know you're going to be sharing about your new album, but since we've been talking about this and you said you would if it came up, we would love to hear something that is slack key, and so is that possible now?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'll play something that's it's an old song that my Hawaiian language teacher used to sing, and it always makes me think of him. It's a beautiful old song called Le Aloha, and you know, I'm not going to sing it, but I'm just going to play it instrumentally. But the concept of the song is that, you know, you wear your aloha like a lei around you. It's a figurative way of saying that you wear your aloha spirit with you, as you would wear a lei, you know.
Well, here's Jim Kimo West performing Le Aloha live, actually, on the Life Changes Show online edition. Beautiful. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Chemo. Jim Chemo West. Wow. That was
my
special.
Pleasure.
That was special. we have links at the Life Changers Show page for Jim Chemo West. By the way, Chemo is K-I-M-O. And you can find him all over the place, but definitely his website, Jim Chemo West, JimKimoWest.com. And then he's, like I said, all over social media. So you could check him out there. And I know, so this is special because you had your release party just yesterday for your brand new album called Santi. And then you're here on the show with us today. So thank you for coming on and playing live, no less. So.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, we had a great time last night. So this record, Santi, is a record that I've did with my friend Joss Jaffe, who's a multi-instrumentalist. He plays, he's a classically trained tabla player, you know, Indian tabla player, and also he plays Ngoni, which is like an African kora, almost an old, you know, sort of a predecessor to a harp, a bunch of different instruments. Anyway, we had made a record a couple years ago called Aumakua, and it was really fun to make. It's kind of a fusion of Hawaiian slack key and world music, and it did very well, and we decided to make another one, and this one has a little bit more of a almost Balinese flavor to it, but it's really fun because I like to, you know, most of my records are very pure slack key, although they're mostly original compositions, but some of my records, like my Guitar Stories albums, are sort of a fusion of slack key with other styles, you know, bringing the slack key tunings and techniques into other kinds of world music, even Americana. My last solo album was called Of Wood and Spirit, and it was slack key sort of infused with Americana. So this is another record which I would call sort of a world fusion, where the Hawaiian slack key techniques are involved, but you know, musically it's much more of a sort of meditative world fusion record.
You know, before we hear that, you're bringing in a couple genres that don't necessarily seem like they would come together in other people's minds, but it definitely comes together in yours. And I think it has a lot to do with have you been exposed to a lot? How does one become you? How
well,
did that happen?
You know, well, I have really varied musical tastes. I like so many different kinds of music. You know, classical music. I've listened to Indian music for years, and I've listened to African kora music for a long time, and I've been a big fan of that for many, many years. And actually, that's how I met Joss, is that he was being a kora player and a Ngoni player. I think I was on maybe following some Facebook group of kora players, and I happened to run across him there, and we just connected, and he was like, well, I'm up in Santa Barbara, and I said, well, let's come on down, and let's, you know, and that's how our first album started. We just met through our mutual love of kora, but I love all kinds of music. I also worked as a composer for TV and film,
yeah,
writing, you know, everything from music to, you know, to metal, you know, everything, you know, so I'm a, you know, I have a very wide range of influences, and when I write my own original tunes, you know, a lot of that comes across.
Wow. Well, good on you, and good for all of us. And you're very prolific. I feel like you'll be sharing your music for a long time to come. So I hope we get to enjoy you live with either you and Joss. You're performing all over, right? Also.
Well, you know, we're not doing a lot of, like, a tour or anything. We're just performing special shows here and there. Like, our record release show last night was really lovely. It was with another wonderful band called Opium Moon, who are also Grammy winners and close friends of ours. So we had a lovely party with them, and also another artist, Masood Ali Khan, who was just my first time meeting him. It was just a lovely performer. So we had just a really nice show last night, just an overall good vibe show, a lot of great positive energy and lots of great music, and it was, you know, really nice way to kick off the album.
Well, speaking of the album, so it is called Santi, and it was just released this weekend. And the music is produced beautifully so. And here we're going to get to hear one of the songs live, unplugged. just Jim and his guitar, right?
Well, you know, I'm going to attempt it. The thing is, the album has a lot of layers and a lot of you know, different textures. But I will try and play, you know, the essence of the song just with a guitar. And this song is called Shadow Play. And it's sort of the title comes from, you know, the Balinese shadow puppet plays, you know, which are really, really amazing. And a lot of them, they're like dramas, you know. They're almost like, some of them are like soap operas, but they're all done with, you know, done with these shadow puppets. But nice. I have another guitar tuned to a whole different tuning here. And I'll see if I can make something happen with this song, Shadow Play.
We appreciate you doing this. This is exciting. And so it sounds like to me like a world premiere of Shadow Play here unplugged with Jim Kimo West here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition. Thank you. Thank you. Jim Kimo West. You did it. You know, I have to say this. I like his Facebook name. It's Slack Happy. S-L-A-C-K Happy. Very clever. But he's JimKimoWest.com. And then Jim Kimo West on Instagram. But again, all his links are at the Life Changes page for Jim Kimo West. Well, Jim, congrats to you and Joss. This is exciting stuff.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's we are very excited, and we've been doing a lot of interviews and a lot of press things and stuff. So this is kind of the busy time of the album release right now.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is, it feels like you're on the start of yet something new that could potentially, there'll be 13 more of these albums.
Well, you never know. I mean, I like exploring. You know, I like trying different things. And you know, when Joss and I play together, we try and leave it open so that we don't play anything the same way twice. You know, we try and we have a basic structure, but then we leave it open to chance. And sometimes we'll do it completely different one night, and which is really exciting. And you know, because I think if you're doing something, doing a show and you're playing the same arrangements every night, exactly the same, it gets boring. You know, and for us, we like to leave it open and leave it open to chance, which is, I think, is really fun, because that's when some of the most amazing things happen.
Well, it seems to me, on the heels of this conversation that we had with Sacred Geometry, it feels to me like potentially this is how traditionally it's done, right? Kind of like an oral history thing. You take in and share the story with the audience that you have.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right.
So, yep. Wow. And it ties in also to Santi. What does that mean again? I should spell that S-A-N-T-H-I, but pronounced Santi.
Right. It comes from the Hindu Shanti, and it's more of the Balinese way of saying it. But it really means like a comfort, a peaceful comfort, you know, as to maybe a child or in our language, maybe just, you know, like a hug, you know, something a comforting piece, really, you know, I think is what my take on it anyway.
Nice. And what a beautiful ending to our show. Kimo, what a pleasure.
Well, thank you, Filippo. It's really been a pleasure being on the show. And I love what you guys do. And I just think, keep doing it.
likewise.
I like to think that when I play slack key and play, shows that I'm kind of spreading the Aloha spirit by doing that. And, you know, every little show, I think, and I know people are affected by it, and you know, people do, you know, they tell me, and it makes me feel good. It keeps me going. You know, that's what keeps me going more than anything else, more than, you know, money or anything like that. It's the positive feedback.
Well, thank you for sharing the Aloha, your music and your passion and your heart with us tonight. So with a big thank you to Jim Kimo West, and another big thank you to our interview guests, Gregory and Gail Hoag. That's our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeur, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.